And so this is why whenever, you know, it's not just because I love Olin that I'm with him on it. We're pounding the offensive line too much. I do love Olin, but that's not my point. The Bears offensive line needs to get better. They need to play better, but they're not the whole problem. We don't know yet if David Montgomery is the answer. We do know that Tariq Cohen is not the answer as a pure running back. Now, I'd like him to see him get 7 to 9 carries a game and Montgomery get, you know, 16 to 20. I think that should be your offense. Clearly, Tariq Cohen is not getting that, but that's because they have not established anything, you know, found the creases that he's going to burst through. It's also, I think, if you want to be fair about it, they've been missing one receiver at least almost every week, some weeks two, and so they're lining him up in the slot maybe even more than they'd like to. I don't understand the Mike Davis signing. He's a backup. You know, he's not going to be a factor here. So question number two after the offensive line, are the running backs good enough? And then you get to the most important question, which is, and Matt Nagy has raised it himself with media a couple times, are the coaches on top of this? Have they got the run game schemed and sequenced the way they need to be successful? I don't get into this play calling stuff because A, it is an art, it's not a science, and people around the league tell me that Matt Nagy's as good as anybody in the league, people who I respect, and I believe that. It's not about the play calling so much. It's about when you call a run, which run are you calling? It's about how have you set it up? And so I think all three of those things are where the focus is clearly at in Hallis Hall right now. And it's the questions they have to answer before that's going to get much better. Let's get out to the west side and get Don on the show. Don, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, yeah, a couple things. As far as this goes, do you believe that it may be one too many people in his ear, the reason why he can't clear his head, and do you think that Chase Daniel is the best tutor looking at his play? Because he made some of the same mistakes that Mitch makes, and it's like, okay, well, it's the blind leading the blind now. Secondly, as far as the refs, now, I understand, you know, there's no real way you can gauge it, but just for with a person being around the league, like, why are the refs so biased? Like, I'm watching at home, I've seen Richie Incognito, I've seen him dive on the ground and roll up the field, like, maybe for a yard and a half, and I'm like, that got to be a penalty, but nothing's called, but yet, you know, and rightfully so, they're ringing up Charles Leno for every little thing he do. So it's like, for me, I'm like, if you're going to call a game like that and it's a physical game, then why not call some of these cheap shots they're throwing at the players' knees? And it clearly took an effect because the line wasn't even aggressive anymore. So, I mean, that's not the reason we lost, but still, it played a major factor. Okay, I'll hang up though.
Oh, Don, thank you for the call. I guess three different things there. Number one, I don't know that Mitch has too many people in his ear so much as that I think collectively they are in his ear too much. I've been talking about this really since opening day. I know he's a young developing quarterback. I know you're trying to mold him and try and teach him, but he appears to me both on the field and when we get to talk to him in interviews and when I've been able to talk to him around Hallis Hall, you know, basically in media sessions, he's on guard. He is not thinking for himself. He is repeating talking points. You know, I think if with what you invested in him and what I've observed and witnessed about his intelligence, his leadership skills, his work ethic, his competitiveness, I think at some point you got to let Mitch be Mitch. I know that's a cliche, but I've been saying it since week one. And I don't think we're really going to find out if he can play this position or not until they cut him loose. So that is a variation of your question, too many cooks in the kitchen. I don't know if it's too many, but I know that as a group or individually, I think they've got too tight a leash on him. And I'd like to see him cut loose and just go out there and play football and see what would happen. That's number one. You know, number two, relative to Chase Daniel, he's obviously a good mentor and tutor, and he's a good guy, and I understand why you want him around. I view him as more of a life coach than a backup quarterback, but I will say something very controversial now. Maybe I'll light up the phone lines with this, but this is how I honestly feel. If, based on what we have now seen in three starts from Chase Daniel, and based on what we saw Sunday in London, if Mitch is unable to go a week from Sunday versus the Saints, I would start Tyler Bray. And the reason I say that is because, like Daniel, he's been in this system for 5 or 6 years now, so he's going to know it as well as Daniel. And obviously, he's never going to be somebody's franchise quarterback. There's a reason he's bounced around the league for 6 years and never gotten a job and spends more time on the practice squad than NFL roster. But those two things aside, watching him during training camp, and specifically in that last exhibition game, on pure arm talent, nothing else, he may have the best arm of the three. And watching the way he made decisions and threw the football in that last preseason game, I think it's worth the risk, because I just don't know that he's going to be worse than Chase Daniel, and I think there's a chance that he might be. I'm not saying with Mitch. If Mitch is healthy, he goes. He's your best option. But I think you got to start to look at this backup situation. And when you look at what Kyle Allen is doing with Carolina, what Gardner Minshew has done down in Jacksonville, that's all strictly about arm talent. You know, I mean, these guys would be starters somewhere if they were the best option, but you don't have your best option now. Your starter is down, so who's got the chance to make the most plays to win without making the most mistakes that cost you a loss? Well, based on what happened with Chase in the Giants game on Sunday, you know, he's going to make some mistakes, so I would be curious to see Tyler Bray. That's just me. And then finally, on the last part, there is a difference, but as Anthony Heron was just explaining to you, and of course Anthony played the game, he can explain it better than me, but there's a very different, very real difference between a cut block and a chop block. And a cut block is legal. You